Now for something completely different.
Happy hour.
Happy hour.
What's up? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy. And on the phone line, I'm very excited to have this guy on the phone. I have known him for 10 to 11 years now and been a fan for about 13. And you either love him or hate him. I personally love him. The one and only Chad Zumach is on Hoppy Hour. What's up, Chad?
What's up, Ryan? What are you doing?
I'm recording from the studios in St. Petersburg, Florida, talking to you. I absolutely, ooh. I know, it's the Topher Morrison Personify Studios in St. Pete. It's beautiful. If people want to rent out the room, they can come here. I know, you should be here.
Yeah, I'm in Detroit, Michigan right now for the next 3 days. So
how's that?
I can't. Oh, Jesus, bucket list check. Detroit, you've been to Cleveland. You live there.
Yeah, for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I don't miss the Midwest at all. Like, I went to Chicago about a month ago to visit family, and I'm good being in Florida.
Yeah, same. I'm content. I'm fine. I like my routine. I like just doing my thing. I like my area. I'm the same way you are, man. I get it. I totally get it. We did it. You know, it's like you do it, and then you just move on. It's like you graduate high school, and you just move on.
You said that perfectly to me about a month ago. We were talking about Cleveland drama, just radio and comedy. And you said, I graduated from it. And I thought that was the perfect way to describe it. To me, Cleveland radio, Cleveland media, Cleveland everything is like when you go to your hometown and you see everybody at the local bar and they've lost some hair and they're a little overweight and they're talking about all the touchdowns they scored in high school. It's kind of the vibe, but when you go back to the Midwest, it's like if you don't move out, a lot of people just end up either becoming their dads or alcoholics. It's weird.
No, I was just in Cleveland for 3 days, actually, because I'm on tour with Swartzen right now. And I was just kind of bored because I have a rental and my Bluetooth's not working, so I was just curious, and I put on Rover Show, your old show.
How's that?
And it was just like, I don't know. It was like a time, like I went back in time because I haven't listened to it in so long. And it was just like, oh, it's the same thing going on, you know. And I'm not even trying to like start anything with Rover. I don't give a fuck.
No one does.
But I'm just like, it's just like this is what they're still doing. It's just weird to me. It's just strange.
It's funny. I obviously worked for him. You had beef with him. And what's funny about him was for such a long time, he was able to control the narrative on others and talk smack about people. And if you read the comments on social media or his Reddit page, I stopped looking at it, but I looked at it for a while. Nobody likes him anymore. It's funny, the same thing with Alan Cox. All these guys that ran their mouth about people, like, I don't even know if it's karma. It's just, when you have a dirty personal life and you're talking about others, like when I got fired from Rover Show, Alan was the first one to announce it. He views my LinkedIn all the time, but he's a bitch because he doesn't reply because he knows that he's a coward.
Well, what's funny is Alan recently, somebody got through, because he used to dump my name every time somebody would call in.
Yeah.
Somebody got through and said, you know, what do you think of Chad Zumach? And he goes, I don't know if the guy's dead or alive. So I did a podcast on it. And I just destroyed him, and I called him out for everything. And by the way, his show every day is live on YouTube, and it's been live on YouTube for years.
Yeah.
He gets like 74 live views, and I get like 400. Mm-hmm. So more people are watching me than an actual terrestrial radio show. So I called him out because I'm like, but nobody gave a fuck. Nobody cares. He ended up blocking me on everything, which is so funny. Like 13 years later, I got blocked on all social media from Alan. I'm like, I love it. I think it's great.
Well, the new topic, because going to war with Cleveland radio for me and you was kind of like very 2017. But the new thing, and I've been talking about it, you can say, no pun intended, I've been dabbling in it, is commenting on this weird Dabbleverse. And It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen, because I'm not just saying this to kiss your ass because you're my friend, but you're definitely the most talented comedian. You and Kevin Brennan are pretty good, a part of this whole thing, but you got all these wannabe midlife crisis 55-year-olds that think they're funny, and it's pathetic.
Dude, I don't even know how this all happened for me. I literally fell into it.
Yeah.
But I know for a fact, on record, clip it, put it out there, like Big J Okerson, the Legion of Skanks, all these comics are watching Annie Lieberman. They're all watching what we're doing. And I don't even know how it happened.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I do know how it happened.
How did it happen?
It was a pile-on with Carl from Who Are These Podcasts. Ugh. And what really did it for me was that Steel Toe guy who you recently just covered, and I go, who the fuck is this guy? He wouldn't stop for 2 months, and I refused to learn his name. I was like, I don't know who he is. I knew he was hacky, and finally it was so to the point where I was like, I gotta say something, and I just started beefing with him, and honestly it put me in another stratosphere, another income bracket, where, like, I'm not joking, like, The revenue I generate from these losers is fan fucking tastic. I don't have to do stand up barely. I'm like, I'm on tour with Schwarzenegger because it's amazing. But I turn down gigs now because I can just sit on my ass at my house and make fun of them. And I, like, it's just fucking great revenue. I can't believe it's happening. I don't know how long it's going to go on for, but holy shit, let's have fun while it lasts.
I'm very indifferent on Aaron. I don't love him. I don't hate him. But you know who? There's two people in this dumb universe that I can't stand, and we agree on this. I can't stand that creep, Patrick Meldon, and I have always hated Carl from Who Are These Podcasts, because he's just some Opie and Anthony nerd that knows all the key words about Prep Burger and all these words that they said, but he's never worked in radio. He's a loser.
No, he's a total ball washer. He got popular during COVID because Anthony Cumia would promote the shit out of his stuff.
Yeah.
And his Patreon's actually very healthy, but he ripped off Jocktober.
Yes.
And he's not a funny guy. If you really watch him, he's not funny. He prepares well. He prepares very well, but he copies off everybody. He's not a funny guy. He's not funny off the cuff. He's not a good impression. There's nothing funny about him, but he's managed to make some money doing it. But I have no respect for him because there's really no creativity coming from him. So I'm not a fan of any of these people. And that's the thing about me, that everyone thinks I'm running rogue, because I am, because I don't want to partner up with these. I don't want to be friends with any of them. I don't give a fuck. They're all losers to me.
Well,
they're all losers.
The thing with Carl that irritates me is, like, the jumping on Opie. Like, listen, I'm indifferent on Opie because he lied to me and said he would do my podcast, but then ignored my DMs and said it publicly.
He does that to everyone, too, by the way.
I don't take it personally, but then it's like, it's just kind of irritating because it's like, don't lie to me. Like, Ralphie May, one time, I was on Mike Kalta's cruise in 2016, and I asked him if he'd go on my podcast, and he goes, fuck no. He goes, I'll buy you as many beers as you want, but I'm not going on your podcast. And that, to me, because then I had Bert Kreischer in 2016. Oh, I'm going to take you to Hollywood and do this and that. But to me, guys like Ralphie, who always just were so to their word, are more genuine than other people.
Yeah. No, I've had my history with Bert. I used to be his open. We had a fallout. And, you know, Bert's just Hollywood. It is what it is. I don't wish him ill will, but he's full of shit. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's just like, you know, I know how this game's played. I'm with Nick Swartzen right now,
yeah,
who is a legitimate movie guy. He's been in every Adam Sandler film, and he's been my friend for 20 years. So I'm not impressed with celebrity. I never have been. I don't give a fuck. But it's just funny how this shit goes to people's heads, and they think they're better than everyone. You're not. You're not. You're just not.
Nick Swartzen as the gay prostitute on Reno 911 is some of the funniest TV ever.
Oh, it's the best. Yeah, go on YouTube and watch him. It's so funny. It's like, everywhere we go, that's what he gets recognized the most for. Like, we were just at lunch today, and somebody's like, dude, I love Terry from Reno 911.
Oh,
it's so
good.
Funny, but yeah, it's great. It's so much fun.
So what is it like going on the road? Because some comedians love it. Some end up dying in their hotel room and hate it. What is your take on being on the road?
Well, I haven't died in my hotel room yet, but I am in a hotel talking to you. So fingers crossed. No, it's funny, as I'm 10 miles away from where Chris Cornell died in his hotel room in Detroit. I Googled it because I wanted to know where he would stay when he died. So I'm 10 miles away if I want to go there. But it's just, you know, it's the job. I've been doing it for, 21 years now? So it's the same shit, man.
What is it like? So for me, I don't like being alone in bed at times, but sometimes I like it. But when I'm in like a hotel bed or someone else's bed and it's not my bed, I feel kind of weird, especially with my bad back, because it's hard to just kind of lay down at times. Is it ever weird being in like Fargo or wherever and you're just like laying in some random bed in the middle of nowhere?
No, I mean, the hotels, Nick put me up. He puts me up in nice hotels, 4-star. So it's just like a luxury, and yeah, it's not lost upon me, because I remember the shit hotels on the road where you have to drive up with your car to the door. The door is right in front of your car, and it's the shittiest hotel ever, and the electricity doesn't work or the water doesn't work. So, no, this is fun for me. Because I'm going to be back in Tampa a week from today, and, you know, I'll be back in my routine, but I'm enjoying it. Sold out shows, theaters, and it's not lost upon me. It's not my audience, but I'm getting new fans from this. It's not just Dabbleverse people. Thank God.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I've noticed like about a year ago, all the Dabbleverse people would talk smack to you, but I've noticed a lot of positivity in your life overall, especially with people on social media. Not that that matters, but I've definitely noticed like a reinvention of Chad Zumach.
Well, it's been ebbs and flows with all of this. The one thing I've learned from all this, and by the way, when I was beefing with Rover, this was Rover when he was like, how many affiliates did he have at one point?
Seven or eight.
How many he has now, but yeah, I mean, he was like kind of a thing when I was going after him. It was overwhelming. But, you know, now the whole landscape has changed, and it's just so much shit out there. So they don't understand these shitty podcasts like Carl and Steel Toe. I've been through the best of the best. Maxwell back in the day when it was something. So these beefs don't mean shit to me. They're nothing, because I understand staying the course regardless.
Yeah.
It's going to be bumpy for months. It will be bumpy, and you might be looking at it as a piece of shit or whatever, but if you just stick true, you're going to be all right. And that's exactly what's happening right now. Dude, I'm not joking right now, and I swear to God, I'm not just trying to say this. I made more money last year than I made when I was on terrestrial radio. And I'm sitting on my ass in my apartment. It's fucking amazing.
The thing that really influenced me is that you don't have like a bias for other shows. You just kind of speak your mind. And that's sort of what I try to do with my brand. Because I notice some people will like not talk bad about Shuley or not talk bad about Carl because they want to be on that show. But what I like about you is that you're just your own brand.
Well, that's the thing. Is like Carl, for example, Carl from Who Are These Podcasts, he is very strategic in how he manipulates things and who he partners up with. It's all about trying to build his thing and get another follower and make another dollar, where that's never, you know, maybe it's not the best business decision, but it's the most honest business. You know, I'm not coming from a false place. I'm being honest. I think your show sucks, even though you have more followers. Yeah, Carl's more successful than me in this weird thing, but I don't respect him, so fuck him. Like, you know, I could easily be like, Carl, you know, you're the best, you're so funny, and I could get on his, like, thing, but I'm like, I don't like him, so he can suck my dick. And I've been like that my whole career with comedy and radio shows. Like, you know, going up against Rover was not good for me. It wasn't good at all. Going against Alan Cox was not good. But it all worked out in the end.
People don't realize, because people don't want to like meet their heroes, but Rover's a scumbag. You know what I mean? Like going up against Rover for me after I got fired and whatever, and then through about 2019, and then he just quit talking about me because I'm doing well, and I think he doesn't talk about me. He doesn't talk about Rob because we're doing well. He doesn't talk about you because we're doing well. But in that mid to late 2010s, it was ugly. Like you wake up to like 30 tweets from these losers that are like, it was bad with Rover for a minute.
No, even with me, when I was, and I was actually in a dark period of my life when I was dealing with it.
Yeah.
So it was overwhelming at one point, but it's just, you know, you look back on it now, you're like, what the fuck? But hey, let's go to Rob right now. How, that guy's fucking killing it down here. I'm a comic.
Yeah.
And he's working for that podcast that's very popular. I don't know the
Patrick
name of it.
Patrick Bat David? Yeah.
Valutainment. Yeah, I mean, and he's working with the Dolphins and he's doing stand up everywhere. So he, that guy's a hustler. He, that guy makes things happen.
That's what's funny about haters is they will rain and talk smack about you when you're in the low point of your life. And I've had some in the last 10 years, but they never ever go, oh, I was wrong, or oh, they're doing well. It's quite funny. It's almost like when you don't hear from the people that used to hate on you, it's a sign that you're doing well.
Yeah, you know, it's so weird. It's so odd. I don't know. It's just, I think moving to Florida for me 4 years ago, by the way, it's my fourth year living here.
Florida,
and
man.
Now I'm in peace after COVID, after all my ups and downs, my trials and tribulations. I'm so like comfortable with who I am and where I'm at. And I just don't give a fuck. I just don't care. And that's the most freeing feeling of all time. Like just not caring. And, you know, people can say whatever they want about me, and they do, but they understand it. Like, it doesn't nothing. It doesn't ruin my day because I love my life. It's so fun.
Chad, I want to ask you, so I've never met Anthony Cumia, but I interviewed him. I was the first podcast to interview him around the time that it was like 2017 and we made the news. He said he would never work with Opie again and made All Access, and it was a big moment. And at that time, I feel like I was subscribed to Compound Media and I liked it. Then he did the show with Dave Landau, which I thought was solid. What happened to Anthony Cumia? Opie and Anthony is one of the main reasons I'm in radio. I still listen to old shows, but I can't put my finger on it. What happened to him? Because I know he mentioned you in his book, and it's almost like so off-putting how mad he is. Like, I loved his rage. I loved the rage of Opie and Anthony back in the day, but it's so off-putting now.
No, I know Anthony very well, actually. We actually used to be pretty close, and it's funny how he took a turn because I wasn't the popular guy for a minute. So he's a very bandwagon guy. Like whatever, like he just tries to like be a part of whatever's cool at the time in his mind. But no, Anthony's obviously a talented guy, all feelings aside. He is talented, and it's undeniable what ONA has done. I mean, how many people have been influenced by these people? I mean, dude, Carl from Who Are These Podcasts is number one. Like they did something. You know, when Terrestrial, it was something.
Rogan.
Yeah, Joe Rogan. Like, so they were very influential in everyone's life. But it, for me, personally, it's just sad to see what Opie and Anthony has become. Like, Opie does a live stream. He's doing it right now as we speak. And I'm looking at it right now. I'm on my laptop. There's 31 people watching Opie right now. I don't hate Opie. I like Opie. Opie and I are cool. He, like, sends me messages all the time. But it just goes to show you things fade away and things change, and it changed. And Anthony just got, I don't know why he went down this racist road or whatever, but he just got in bed with what he thought was cool, which wasn't. And, you know, but he's made his money in radio. I mean, those guys made a shitload of money through Bob Eatman and terrestrial radio. And, you know, but, you know, people come, people go, things just go aside and fade away. I don't know if I'm even making sense right now.
No, you are. I mean, it's so crazy to me because I listened to them. They were on in Chicago briefly for about a year and a half from like 06 to 07. They replaced Rover when Rover was like in 50th place and I was like his only listener in Chicago. But I listened to Opie and Anthony every day and it's so crazy to me. Then when I graduated high school, I listened from 2012 to 2014. So they had a huge impact on my life. And if you would have told me that 10, 12 years later they'd be at where they're at now, they were such greater than life figures. They're the first time I heard Amy Schumer, Jim Florentine, like every comic that I've ever liked. It's crazy, man. I like listening to Howard Stern, but it's so weird how he changed over the years. I know that's the most overplayed opinion ever. Everybody says that, but it's so weird. If you listen to Howard from like 94 and then 30 years later, it's like, it makes you wonder if Howard in the 90s was even who he is.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, success and money makes you different, but you know, there's no question Howard Stern influenced a lot of people. It was a trailblazing show. It was very funny. It was good. And it's still relevant to this day. I mean, how many Howard Stern shows are knockoff shows are going on, and how people are still like covering it to this day. And, you know, with ONA, it's just a sign of the times. Things are changing, things are going away, and things are evolving and becoming things. But, you know, they definitely pioneered a lot of things. But I always made this joke to Anthony, and he always laughed. I go, Anthony, with all due respect to ONA, but if you gave me a show with Louis C.K., Bill Burr, Patrice O'Neill, Jim Norton, and you said, try to be funny, I think I'm going to do okay. I think I'll be fine with those guys on air. That's what they had. They had the access to the funniest guys in the world, and, you know, and they did some great stuff. I'm not trying to take away from that, but, you know, at the end of the day, Anthony is on my playing field. Opie is on my playing. We are in the universe of shit. We are in the Dabbleverse, where the fuck that is. I'm going toe-to-toe with Stuttering John now. Ugh. I'm fucking up Anthony. These are my – you're on my playing field. Whatever happened in the past is in the past, John. John Melendez, look through your rearview mirror. It's over. All of it's over. Dude. Everything's over. Like, you're in the shitverse. So you can talk about yesterday and the glory days and I was on this and that. It doesn't matter. Kevin Brennan is one of the most accomplished comedians. He was on Saturday Night Live, every talk show. But he's on my world now. We're all in the same – it's a level playing field. So it doesn't matter what you did. It's what you're doing now. And guess what, motherfuckers? I'm killing it.
John Melendez's new tattoo literally represents him as a person. It's crazy.
John's a broken man. But John's, you know, obviously he's say whatever you want about Centering John. He's been very successful and he's made some money. Whether it's talent or being in the right place at the right time, he's right place, right time, and motivated. But John's just a broken man. I mean, there's like 85 podcasts making fun of him at this point. And he still doesn't get it.
Yeah, and I love how he puts the name on the screen as the Duke of the Dabbleverse. I'm like, you went from Howard Stern to The Tonight Show to being the Duke of the Dabbleverse.
Well, he stole that from me because Kevin started calling me the Mud Shark because I get in the mud and all this.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, John's calling himself the Duke, like out of nowhere. No, John copies off Kevin and I so much. He just started yelling at people like Kevin would do. He was like copying his rant. He started copying stuff I was doing because he went away for 8 months. He was substitute teaching. And while he was substitute teaching, he was watching. He even admitted, he goes, I was watching Chad and Kevin. That's what inspired him to come back to fight against Carl and everyone making fun of him because he saw me doing it with Kumia's Cox, which my show is, it's fucking profitable and fun, whether you don't like it or not. It's a thing. But John was inspired by what we were doing, and that's why he came back.
Yeah, I love your picture for Kumia's Cucks where you have everybody on it. It's it cracks me up every time I see it on my YouTube page.
Yeah, it's just like because I don't want to be friends with these people. I don't care. I don't want to partner up with them like everybody does. So it's fun calling them out, and they don't know how to handle it because I'm rogue. I'm rogue. I'm like I always say, I'm Boba Fett in Star Wars. I don't team up with people. I do my own thing. And they don't know how to handle me or treat it, and they'd rather not deal with me, and I love it.
So I'm personally friends with Eric Nagel. I've known him, I don't know, 10 years. Where did things go wrong with you and Eric Nagel? Because I hear you talking smack.
No, I used to be cool with Eric. No, Eric thought it was great. He was working for Kumia. He'll deny it, but he did. He was running the shit over there. When Carl and Chrissy Mayer and all them start piling on me, and that's when Steel Toe got involved, he thought it was a good move to do it. He thought I was – the internet uses the word low-cow, which I fucking cringe at because I think it's so nerdy. They thought I was the next Stuttering John because Stuttering John was off the internet. He was teaching. So they were trying to make me the next Stuttering John, and I go, no, 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 no. And at the time, I was a little over 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. I was barely monetized. I didn't know how to do anything. I'm not technically savvy. So E-Rock starts sharing all my text messages with Kumia. He piled on with Kumia, trying to get in with Kumia. And I go, Eric, you don't want to do this. And I texted him, and he would send it to Kumia. I go, you fucked up, dude. You don't know what I do and what I'm capable of. So he probably has buyer's remorse at this point. You probably realize I probably should not have done that. But I'm the type of guy, I like to throw people's noses in shit, like dog shit. Like, yeah, you did this, dude. I told you not to do it, and you did. And listen, I was friends with Eric at one point. I don't hate Eric, but he tried to pile on, and I had to make him pay, and I did.
Where did Compound Media go wrong? It's just crazy how it doesn't exist. I mean, it does, but...
It was a shitty operation. They didn't know what they were doing. Like, keep the cop. I mean, it was somewhat professional. It was fun. Don't get me wrong. I went on Anthony's show, like, I don't know, 15 times. I loved going there. It was fun, but it just wasn't run well. When they hired Artie and they paid him what he paid, I mean, they paid Artie a shitload of money. And he was a heroin addict.
Yeah.
And I love Artie Lang. I opened for Artie. Artie's great. He's hilarious and sad how it all... But when you give him all that kind of money when you're on heroin, you don't know what you're doing. And I know the inside numbers and all that, and it just fell apart. It just wasn't a good business model. They had no idea what they were doing, and it just imploded. It is what it was, but it was great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a hater. Like, I love going on those shows when it was relevant. I used to go on Anthony's show, and I get text messages like, you were hilarious on Anthony's show today. So, you know, and it, the more I went on the show, like, the later things went on before Anthony and I had our follow-up, no one was watching. It just kind of, like, dipped. It was like terrestrial radio. It just kind of fell apart. It's like nobody cared.
It was when they added like Gino Bisconte, who I think is the most unfunny person to ever walk on this earth, and his annoying OnlyFans wife. It was when that kind of happened.
Kiki.
I can't stand her. I don't like the way she talks. It's like she's trying to do call her daddy type of voice. It's like, shut up.
Her voice is, she has like a different accent like every month. It's funny. I used to live with Gino in New York. I lived with him for 7 months, and he was a great guy, but he got so broken by Compound Media fans, Aaron Berg leaving, COVID. He's just a shell of what he used to be, and he is a good guy. I don't hate Gino, but he went down a weird, weird road because Compound Media started to become a cult. They all thought they were better than everybody, and nobody cared. And they were all kind of enablers to one another, and you know, and now Gino's doing a live stream to like 150 people. No one's watching. And, you know, and again, I don't hate Gino, but he was misled.
Chrissy rubs me the wrong way, dude. I not a fan.
No, Frank and Chrissy are the worst. They're opportunists. She went to right-wing conservative grift because it was profitable. Because she went to high school with Amy Schumer. She saw Amy get famous and successful. So she tried to do what Amy did at the time, is like the cool chick, the successful slut, hooks up with guys,
yeah,
hangs out with guys. And then Amy decided to go, you know, feminist, left wing, you know, politics, because she got famous. And it just wasn't working for Chrissy, so she went right wing when she got on Compound Media with the Wet Spot. And it was all, she doesn't believe in it. It's not natural. It's not coming from a good place. And I saw that from the get-go, and I remember Kevin Brennan saying, she's not funny. So I didn't know anything about her, so I went and watched her stand-up. I go, yeah, she's not funny. And her husband now, you know, they just went full-on onslaught. They started all of this with me. They're the ones that started all, because I said she wasn't funny. So there would be no me right now with everything that's going on. If it wasn't for Chrissy and Frank saying, going all in on me because I said they weren't funny. So I actually have them to thank because I had the most profitable year last year.
Yeah.
Fighting them and going against them. So at one point I was like, go fuck yourself. But now I'm like, thank you. My bank account thanks you for calling you guys out for being losers. And by the way, she's back to obscurity now that Compound Media is gone.
Damn right she is. Chad, where are some of the cities that you're performing in over the next, let's say, month and a half, 2 months?
I mean, I'm on tour with Schwarzen right now. It's amazing. He's great. He's in the new Happy Gilmore movie coming up. I'm in Detroit Thursday, Petoskey, Michigan, which is sold out on Friday. Then I'm in Grand Rapids on Saturday. And then I'm picking up some more dates with them. And I got my own dates. You know, I would say my website, but I don't update it because I don't give a shit. Dude, I don't care. I wear flip-flops all day. I have terrible tan lines.
Florida does that, bro. Florida does that.
Yes. I'm a beach bum, dude. I'm a loot. I don't have motivation. I don't have an agenda.
Me neither.
I don't care. I have no agenda.
Me neither.
I don't care who I'm hanging out with or I'm, let's just, who cares, dude? I'm over it. because comedy is a popularity contest. It's high school.
Yeah.
And I don't care that I'm not in with, and I know Tony Hinchcliffe. I know Red Band. I know Rogan. I know, but if I'm not in with the cool kids, I'm good. I'm fine. I don't care. Like what?
It's so fake. It's so fake. I've been with the cool kids. It's so fake because people only surround themselves with you because you're with the cool kids. And then when you're not with the cool kids, then they don't talk to you. Yeah. It's like, it's dumb.
Yeah, they turn on you. I was, you know, back in Cleveland radio, I was very popular, and they all turned on me. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm used to it now. It doesn't bother me. It's hilarious. And like I said, I was just back in Cleveland. I'm listening. I'm like, yeah, you guys are all doing the same shit. Great. You know, they just fired Holly Strano was a news girl that was there forever, and she got like a horrible DUI.
Yeah, she did.
And I'm not shitting on her, but they just let her go, and I'm like, yeah, watch them all turn on her now that she's not on TV. It is what it is.
And then fucking Rover's making fun of her. I'm like, bro, didn't you shove an undercover cop when you were blackout drunk? Like, I love how Cleveland media, the ones with the darkest secrets are the ones that talk bad about others. It's lame.
Yeah, I'm not on your show to start a beef with Rover. I'm really not.
No one cares.
Rover's another guy, right place, right time. But to his defense, he capitalized on opportunity, unlike like Stuttering John and all them who just faded away in obscurity. So he's still working, and it is what it is. And, you know, I'm not a fan of them. I don't give a shit. But, you know, have fun hanging out with Bert Kreischer.
Hell yeah. Good job. Crying about his daughter. I mean, it's nice to cry about your daughter, but do you have to share the selfie? Ooh.
Dude, if you only knew how many group texts I got about that from comics that were making fun of him, Bert would be really crying because these were his heroes. I'm in group texts with Bert. I'm sorry, with people who are making fun of Bert, and Bert is a very sensitive boy. If they only knew what they were saying about Bert, his peers, because all he wants to do is be respected as a comic, and he can't get it because he's not that good of a comic, and I mean that. But listen, he's a great personality. He's an amazing marketer, but he's not a good comic. And I'm just saying that because I know him. I've known him for 20 years. He turned on me. And you know who helped turn is Rover. Rover and Douchey are like the two people that really turned Rover against me.
I was on the Celta Cruise in 2016. Yeah. And I was talking to Ralphie May at the dinner table with Calta and all these people.
Yeah.
I was talking to Ralphie May about Rover, and Calta's like, we don't like Rover. And Ralphie May goes, Rover's my boy. I love Douchey, which is fine.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Bert Kreischer goes, what is a Rover? He didn't know who Rover was until he went on the show in 2017. Now, to his defense, he defended me on that show because Rover tried to throw me under the bus. But 8 years ago, he didn't know what a Rover's Morning Glory was.
I don't mean to one-up you on your podcast. Yeah. I'll do you one better.
Yeah.
I was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania with Jim Florentino. I was at the Improv Homestead.
Yeah.
I get a phone call from Bert, and he's like, oh, dude, they're making me do fucking morning radio. I have to do some Rover show. And I go, oh, okay. And he goes, what's the story on that? He goes, my shows are sold out. I don't want to do it. I'm with my wife and my family. And I said, listen, I don't have the best relationship with them, but it's a big show. It will sell tickets. And then he went in. And, of course, he's great on morning radio. He drinks beer. He's a party guy. Takes his shirt off. Of course, perfect for a Rover show. And then they found out I had a friendship with him. And that's where it turned.
Yeah.
They turned Bert against me. They start talking shit about me. Chad did this. Chad said this. Yeah. And Bert's so influential, and he realizes the influence that he had on Rover's show. That's what turned Bert against me, was Rover's show. And I'm fine with it. Like, I don't care. Bert's a fucking flake, so whatever. But at the time, I was like, okay, really? You're going to, like, listen to Rover and Douchey? But that's what did it. And that's an exclusive. Yeah. I've said this before. Like, they turned Bert against me because we were cool, man. I was opening for him. I was on the road. And they were great shows and everything. But, you know, Bert wants to be the cool guy. And he thought Rover was the cool guy at the time. And, you know, that's fine. Bert's a joke. We all laugh at him. I mean, he is. He's a clown. But you know what? This guy made millions of dollars, but he still wants to be famous. So good luck to him.
Chad, can you believe we've been talking for 34 minutes and 24 seconds?
No, I'm in a hotel room in fucking Troy, Michigan. So I just want anything to do at this point. In fact, if Rover called me right now, I'd talk to him, like, just to hang out.
Yes, this is Rover's Morning Glory. He has that vocal thing where he talks like this. I love it.
That guy's made a lot of money, though.
It's crazy. No, I have respect for him as, like, a show. Like, I respect that he was able to do it, but I don't respect him as a person, if that makes sense.
No, it goes back to, like, Carl. Like, there's not a lot of originality. He just saw what other people were doing, and he just kind of duplicated it. But let's not, like, listen. I was there when they hired Jeffrey, the phone screener. I was there when Douchey said, you got to meet this guy. I said, yeah, hire him immediately. And holy fuck, did they make a mountain of money from that guy.
He makes nothing. He makes like $8 an hour. He doesn't even make like $15 an hour.
He was the ultimate whack packer. Like, he was the one guy. He was their Beetlejuice. He was their Eric the Midget. He was everything to that show. And that guy should get a fucking a truckload of money backed up to his home and, like, just dumped on his front lawn or wherever the hell he lives at this point. But yeah, Jeffrey is a, and I like him too. He's a nice guy. He's like Rain Man. He's had some autistic situations, his abilities, whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about.
He has more groupies than some rock stars. It's crazy.
Northeast Ohio, man. I was there. I was part of it at one point.
Well, Chad, it's been a lot of fun having you on the show. I'm glad I was able to figure out this new podcast board to have you on. And let's definitely have an in-person interview whenever you have time in Florida.
Yeah, but you're in St. Pete. I don't like driving over that bridge.
That's what everybody says. I can bring the equipment to you.
I'll do that. I don't want to. I don't like leaving. I ride my bike everywhere. I have the best life. I don't even like going to Sidesplitters, my home club. It's like 20 minutes away, and it's fucking great. And I love Sidesplitters. Like, driving there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, I'm just lazy.
BT's awesome. I love BT.
Yeah, Brian's the man. He's awesome. You know what? Me and BT, like, you know, you grew up in Barbin, Ohio. So yeah. We have all the same. Our my childhood friends are his childhood friends. So that's where our connection is before comedy. So great club. Go see Sidesplitters Comedy. They do a great job.
Well, Chad, it's been a lot of fun having you on the show. Keep up the good work.
You too, Ryan. I'm glad you're still killing it, brother.
Thanks, bro. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Happy hour. Happy hour.
RyanHappyRadio.com.
Like that. He's gone.
Happy hour is now over.
Happy hour is now over.